I continued to concentrate on moving, not a muscle, although I worried my pounding heartbeat might be giving me away. My panic increased when he finished tying his shoes and sat back, focusing his gaze in my direction. In fact, he was looking directly at me, although apparently lost in his own thoughts. I remained stock still, heart pounding, but barely breathing. After he had finished contemplating whatever it was he was contemplating, he stood all the way up, reached into his gym bag, and removed a white t-shirt, also a turtleneck, slipped it on, and pulled the material down to cover his paunch. He then walked over to a mirror and began admiring himself. Imperceptibly, I hoped it was imperceptibly, I swiveled the lion's head just a bit to keep a better watch. He tucked his shirt tail into his shorts and then removed a black comb from the back pocket of his running shorts and began styling his hair, same as he had done at the modeling agency before his encounter with Monica. When he had finished, he put the gym bag inside the locker and slammed the door. With his hands to his hips, he began loosening his shoulders and then rotating his head on his neck. Then, like a shadow boxer, he elevated to the balls of his feet and began jabbing the air, as if punching an imaginary speed bag. Still bouncing and still throwing punches, he moved to the stairs, ascended them, crossed the landing, and went out, leaving the lights on behind him. It took a Herculean effort, but I forced myself to continue holding my pose. I had to be sure to give him enough time to climb the boarding ladder, enter through the Alice in Wonderland door, and reach the running track. Finally, I stood up, lifted the helmet off my head, and set it down on the throne. I didn't stick around to remove the rest of the costume. I wanted to get out of there and far away as possible, as quickly as I could. It took me a scant second or two to cross the locker room floor, but 10 times that long to climb the steps to the landing, owing to the awkward fit of the costume. Being modeled on a real lion's anatomy, short inseams of the hind legs, it forced me to climb the steps penguin style, rather than as the king of the forest ought to do. Reaching the landing, I crossed to the door and cautiously pushed it open a few inches, then a few more. I couldn't see much owing to how deeply the door was recessed into the thick wall, but there was no sign of him, nor were there any sounds. The only sounds at all, in fact, were the continuous background thrum of the boilers in the boiler room. I stepped forward. The mouth of the tunnel was vacant. So was the path up the gangplanks. Good, just what I needed. I set out to do a blistering 100-yard dash up the gangplanks, but in no time at all I realized how hindered I was by the lion suit. Not only because of its short hind legs, but also due to its sewn-on footies, which were slippery and provided almost no grip on the wood planking. However, I soldiered on as best I could. In my mind's eye, I knew how ridiculous this must look. I was actually pretty close to matching that other cowardly lion in the scene from The Wizard of Oz, the one where Bert Lahr runs down the long emerald hallway to escape the levitating green head of the wizard. Of course, my comical appearance was of no concern to me now. My problems with the suit all had to do with its poor functionality, its slipperiness, its short inseam, its bulkiness, plus the fact that with the combined layers of my other clothing, it was making the steam pipes feel that much steamier and the long torpedo room that much longer. Beads of perspiration were breaking out on my forehead and trickling into my eyebrows, and I could feel other trickles running down my neck and pooling at my clavicles. The main frustration was the slipperiness. The footies were behaving like a pair of sealskin muckalucks, allowing virtually zero traction over the upward-sloping planks. To the suitmaker's credit, however, I will admit that the springy lion's tail off my aft end functioned somewhat like a rudder. This is not to say I did not several times lose my balance and fall to one side or the other. Each time I did, I landed on a hot water pipe. Fortunately, my lion paws performed equally well as oven mitts and protected my own paws from being singed. Arriving at last at the rowing room, I shoved open its door, stepped over the raised sill, and entered its cloaking darkness.